thank our good friend Luke Jensen from ESPN, courtesy of Lexus, for giving us a little tennis update. Also, the interesting comments on tennis players of the male variety dating the female variety because they could understand them. What about that? Let's have a little fun here, Gary McCord. How much dating goes on between members of the LPGA? Does that ever happen with the PGA?
Oh, man, that's a good question. All I know now is Sergio's going out with Greg Norman's daughter, Lee. Lee Morgan. Oh, man, that's LPGA. There has to be, but I can't recall any of that.
And, of course, there was that wonderful facilitation where Tiger's current wife was found, who was the nanny of another player on the tour.
Yeah, that was, I'm blanking out here.
The man with the funny hat.
Swede, Jesper. Jesper Parnevik. Yeah, Jesper.
There you go.
The two nannies he had were twins. And Sergio at that time was also dating the other one, I heard. And then Tiger, ended up getting married to Elon. And then Jesper gets another. I saw her last year at the Phoenix Open. Another nanny it was so unbelievable looking, I couldn't believe it. I just got to find out why in the world his wife Pia would allow nannies to look like that in the house. That's the only problem I got.
It did occur to me. Let me ask you this. You know, because in football you got, you know, let's say you go to Oakland and you've got 50,000 people screaming obscenities at you. Kind of a different culture, to say the least, in golf. But what happens if you got just a bevy of beauties around the green? Be honest with me. Tell me that doesn't distract you a little bit.
Well, no, that happens a bunch, you know, especially when you go to Dallas and play there. Fort Worth, obviously the Phoenix Open, you know, that's one of the things that guys look forward to. And if you're playing well, that never bothers you. If you're playing bad, it really bothers you.
Did you ever, before you got married, did you ever date anybody that you met on the golf course during a tournament?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm putting you on the hot seat. This isn't the Budweiser hot seat, but...
Yeah, I know that, yes.
I did say before you got married.
And I'm I've been out there since 1974, so I'm really trying to rack my brain here, but yeah,
exactly.
Maybe
once or twice. Yeah, anyway, hey, let's continue this discussion about what we talked about last time with Bob Costas about the big event culture, and certainly golf lends itself to that to some degree with a crescendo heading towards the weekend. But we also had an interesting comment from Charles Barkley about the fact that U.S. golf, U.S. soccer, U.S. basketball, U.S. baseball is getting its butt killed around the world. Here's Charles.
The biggest difference is that foreign teams have better depth and they're not intimidated by the United States. We had two things going for us. We were obviously a lot deeper. When we went to our bench, we brought in a few more all-stars. They brought in some young kids. They didn't have the depth we had. But also, we lost the intimidation factor. They went all of us in 92. I still went there in 96, and the games were a little bit closer. But the thing I noticed is they didn't respect us. They wasn't in awe anymore. You know, because in 92, we beat about 50 points. They want to take our picture and ask for our shoes and jersey. In 96, we beat about 40. And they like, you know, we're not going to take this much longer. So, you know, once you lose that intimidation factor, it's always going to be... you know, it's like, again, example, like Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson, in his early career, he was beating the hell out of people because they were intimidated by him. But once he lost to Buster Douglas, and people realized, you know, he lost that intimidation factor, and he struggled from that point on.
That's Charles, and that is some truth in that, don't you think, Gary?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, our sporting world is getting closer and closer and closer and getting smaller and smaller. It's coalesced now because basically all the other countries, if they're producing better and stronger athletes or more technology, you know, just it's the whole cycle. And so, you know, you can see it in our sport. You can see it in basketball. You really see it in basketball. Baseball, it's no more the United States is out in front and leading these specific sports. But the other countries are coming back with bigger, stronger athletes, and you know, it's gonna, you know, we're society of we're very apathetic, I think, here in the United States, and that apathy has kind of caught up to us.
What advice do you give to young golfers, the guys that have phenomenal talent? No question, we still continue to produce great talent. But the young players that are 17 and 18 and 19 and they're maybe 1 or 2 years away from the tour, what kind of advice do you give them in terms of work ethic, in terms of what to focus on so they are mentally prepared as well as physically prepared for the onslaught and the constant standards of the game?
You know, that's all well and good. You can go out and, you know, all these kids are good. I wish some of all these kids would get a personality. And that's what we're really lacking out here on the tour. And we need these kids to sit back and, you know, go take a look at Lee Trevino and Chi-Chi and Fuzzy Zeller and come up with something in that aspect of it, because our sport is going to hit a dead end here. As soon as Tiger goes away, I don't see anybody coming up that's having fun and playing well and everything else. And we're getting a little stale, I think, and as far as the personalities out on the tour. We really need that to sell this, to keep this thing going.
What suggestions would you make then in terms of making it more interesting, in terms of letting guys literally let their hair down more?
Well, that's gonna come from when they start playing, you know, when they first start practicing and are developed at an earlier stage, an embryonic stage, basically, in their golf life. To you know, how are they going to react? What are they going to do? How are they going to take their game and move it higher and higher? You can get like Tiger and get that good, but there's not many of those around. But you can really sell yourself with a personality and really benefit yourself down the way by creating a personality if you have to. Do like Sasha Cohen's doing. Create your own characters. Peter Sellers, create characters, you know, and live those characters out. You could have a ball out there and make a ton of money and play well. So I really worry about that aspect. We're going to get the good players. There's no question. They're going to come out. That's why they get out there. They're playing good golf. But are there enough personalities out there to carry the sport and to carry it through all the negotiations with television, as television keeps wandering around trying to find a sport that they can put on and get some people to watch? That's our problem.
I guess what I'm focused on is the difference between personality and character, because some guys that have character, Bjorn Borg, for instance, clearly had tremendous character, focus, presence, but he didn't have what I think you're talking about with personality on the tennis court. Here's Marv Levy talking about resiliency and character.
You have to remain resilient. You have to know when to change and when to stay the course on things. You know you're going to get many suggestions. Always abandon this, put in this new guy, do that. And sometimes you don't want to be resistant to making a move when it's a wise move to make. And I don't want to relate this to politics, but it's even there. But you also have to know when it's important to continue to develop what you've worked on. Resilience is one of the most important things that you must have in the National Football League, or really under any worthwhile undertaking.
That's Marv Levy, Hall of Famer, and now he's trying to find the players with that resiliency, that character. And if you remember, Jim Kelly was on the show Monday, Gary, and he was saying, you know, I was lucky to be part of a system that let me, they had a no-huddle offense, I didn't have to think too much, they didn't overcoach me, but I also had great talent around me. How does that resonate with regard to what you're looking for in the young players today, and if you had to do it over again, how you'd approach developing yourself when you were, say, 16, 17?
Well, you know, we're a sport where we're not getting a whole lot of guys coming out to play. You basically got 144 guys start every week, so that's only 144 guys in the world that are playing, so it's very specific. You better be able to play well. That's number one. And then as you get out there and going about your business, you develop your little idiosyncrasies and how you go about your business. And then when bottom line, when you're out there long enough, it's basically an entertainment. You know, can you entertain the people? We don't have that. My era, we grew up, and that's kind of what you had to do. There wasn't that much money out there. But with all this money they've thrown at these guys now, you really just got to be able to play golf, and I think there's a line of demarcation there where it's really sapping all the guys of any personality, because you got to work so hard and stay the course, and do all the stuff that Tiger does to play well out there. So it's again, Marv Levy was talking about just basically Darwinian theory. You got to be able to adapt to your environment, the faster you can adapt, the longer you're going to stay out there or live.
And what they talked about is Tiger and all these guys, you know, they want to be Patriots, they want to play for the team, but it ends up they get no break. And look what happened with the USA team in basketball. A lot of the teams with the most talent, with the most players on that Team USA basketball team in the world, they're so worn out that those are the four teams, the four best teams in the NBA at the end of the season last year, they're the ones that are playing poorly. It's like they're just burned out. They're trying to do the right thing, but there's no break anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't. All of our sports, you take basketball. They started about 2 weeks ago, and they're going to, I think, what's the last game? Could be June 21st. NASCAR's 10 months. We're 10 to, 10 months. And there's a lot of physical endurance to go at a major sport that long and be productive for that long. So there's a lot of roadblocks along the way.
Well, and the bottom line is, at least there's more money, at least people do take interest. But when we come back, Gary, we'd love to hear your comments on the LPGA deciding to do drug testing, about Tiger two strokes behind in the Dunlop Phoenix tournament, actually in Miyazaki, Japan. And finally, the FedEx Cup, they're changing it so that they're reducing the field. I want to hear your comments on that. Gary McCord from CBS, coming up in just a minute. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.